Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Attack of Opportunity. Today, a very special guest, somebody that is known very well in the Pathfinder RPG world. I have the distinct pleasure of speaking with Jefferson J. Thacker of the No Direction Network. Jefferson, thank you so much for being on the show today.
No problem. Glad to be here.
So to jump right in, I noticed there's a bit of a new logo. I've got some things splashed up, you and your partner, in your classic. I love this picture. Like, I've seen that in a lot of lawyer shows and stuff, but I love the pic of you guys. That was something that actually drew me to your show back in the day. And now we have the lovely No Direction with the compass logo that says network. You're a network now.
Yeah, we kind of had to add that when we added our fifth podcast to the feed.
Ooh, so much to talk about. But let's start with you. The first question that we always like to ask our victims here on the show is, how did you first know that you were a nerd, a geek, one of us back in the day?
You know, I really don't know of a time when I didn't know I was a geek. I mean, some of my earliest memories are sitting in my dad's lap in front of a Commodore 64 while he tries to teach me BASIC. And I think I was like 2 at the time. And so I just was immersed in geek culture and nerdy things basically from the moment I started breathing.
My old man bought a VIC-20, the stupid little brother of the 64, man, but I'm feeling you. But was there a defining moment when you got a little older, a gateway drug that also brought you in, video games, books, anything else in the fantasy sci-fi world that was just it for you back then?
I think when I got my first Nintendo Entertainment System about 6 years old. Of course, I got like really into Zelda, but the more it got me into the concept of like fantasy. And so I just got on this like huge binge that I needed to chase down everything with these swords and dragons and fantasy books, games. And of course, that eventually led me to RPGs.
So how long would you say you've actually been a gamer or playing RPGs?
Gosh, like 30 some years now, more than that, honestly. I mean, I was pretty young when I jumped in, could not figure out role-playing games for the life of me. I had to teach myself how to play them, and there were no cool things like actual play podcasts back then, of course, to just make it easy. And I live, in like the boonies, like the backwoods of absolute nowhere. So it just finding, I had to be the one to like teach my friends and talk them into playing. And good Lord, we didn't know what we were doing. And eventually we figured it out, but it took a while.
That's half the fun though, eh? Page one, you know, this is a rule book and go, toss and off you go. I got a big kick of that being like the rule of fun. My players try to use it against me whenever I try to hash a rule. But so there you are, you're growing up, you're one of us, you know, and then to make content, to go from the 99% to the 1%, what made you decide to start making your own content, to become a content creator?
Oh, I don't know anybody that got into this gig on purpose, and I'm no exception. I went to a Gen Con once, and I just started to shake hands. Like, I went up there with a couple of my friends. They all went and played games and shopping and stuff. And I just went booth to booth shaking hands, meeting people, geeking out when I meet the, the gaming celebrities. And then I would always follow it up with a question of if there's anything I can do for them. Or I would listen to what problems they had and go, oh, I have a solution for that. And basically just started doing little favors for everybody. And eventually that ended up with me doing some gaming insider work for a few different companies. Fat Dragon Games was the first person to ever give me a reach out to do any work. And I was just doing like, not STL, but cut files for their 3D terrain so that the little paper printers could cut, you know, those little scrapbooking blades so that those could cut the little paper terrain out. So I was programming that for them.
Sort of like perforated paper. That's
right.
Quite,
yeah,
it would not quite turn.
Yeah, and no, it would actually slice. It would do the full slice. The perforations were for folds. It was.
Oh.
It was.
Sorry.
It was a fun time. But eventually, that just got me contacts, and was hanging out in the Pathfinder like private chat, and you know, one thing led to another. I made a cool little website called Parham Spellbook, and Ryan just invited me up to be a guest a couple of times on his show, 3-5 Private Sanctuary. And that ended up turning into a permanent hosting spot for the then brand new No Direction.
So you were on his show. At what point did you decide to rebrand or start a second show after you and Ryan went alone?
Okay, so what happened was that this Pathfinder thing was just now coming out, and there was some interest, and he was already doing a 3-5 show at the time. And Ryan and the Tome Show, if you are familiar with that, it's a rather old D&D podcast, and they're still going. And they did a special episode where they were talking about Pathfinder, and I think the intention was to maybe do something there. But the special episode got so much traction that they agreed to let Ryan just spin that off into his own thing and add it to his portfolio, because they were busy having fun with 4th edition D&D at the time. So Ryan spun off a once-a-month No Direction show to talk just about Pathfinder. But as it grew and exploded in popularity, it kind of supplanted 3-5 Private Sanctuary as our primary podcast. And so that's why we rebranded completely over to No Direction.
Oh, so they really didn't realize what they're off playing 4th edition, didn't realize what gold they were handing Ryan. There you guys are, fast forward, eh? So I got to ask a quick personal question. I actually have this out of order, but do you actually have a favorite class or a favorite race or favorite lineman that really is your go-to when you're playing?
Oh, I kind of have a reputation for an affinity towards both halflings and wizards. So much so that anytime I don't play at least one of those, my people get disappointed.
Oh no, you've been typecast. So, while you were working with Ryan, and he was handed this, was there other inspiration out there? Something the two of you were looking at, or that you were looking at, that inspired you to actually jump in and start, you know, the show, this network? Was there another podcast, or, you know, any other type of inspiration that really kind of quietly in the back of your brain sealed the deal for you? And like, yep, I'm inspired now. I'm doing this.
Well, I mean, we were basically just going straight on, and there was a lot of other, there were barely any other podcasts when we were established. There was This Week in Tech and a few other geeky shows. And there was a couple of RPG podcasts around, Fear the Boot and Happy Jacks at the time. And so we were really kind of there near the beginning of this thing, but we were just having so much fun. And mostly we were honestly like the audience was like this tiny little core audience of insiders that we had already gotten to know. And, you know, Paizo was tiny back then. And so getting to work with them and chat with them. And a lot of the Paizo developers were just like happy anybody wanted to do interview them at the time. This is before Pathfinder exploded. So we were just having fun and just hanging out. And it was just a good excuse to have really cool conversations with really, really impressive people.
Yeah, you really got in on the ground floor, man. I kind of envy you in that way, being, you know, actually your age, older. You know, wish I'd gotten back into this sooner. But moving on, whereabouts do you create the content? Like, do you get the basement studio? Are you guys hauled up in a bedroom somewhere? Do you actually go out and have a studio somewhere else? Where's the magic happen?
Okay, so I am in my studio right now. This was created scratch built. I built it myself by hand with lumber and plaster. This is a separate building from my main house. And it is called the Gaming Tavern because the other function it serves is, it also serves as our game room, but it was created as a studio and game room combo thing so that when people were watching the show, they would have a very nerdy thing to see in the background. Ryan records remotely. He's in Canada. I'm down here in Kentucky. And he has his own little office studio space. In fact, he's about to renovate. He moved into a new house, and he's about to renovate his new studio area. But we do it in our homes, but we have set up like studios. But a lot of the people on our network are just people podcasting out of their own homes or offices.
Cool. Yeah, I gotta say that's an original answer. I usually people are like, you know, wait, the person moved, or you know, we're crammed into the basement, or the pool room became the game room. You know, like for you to go out and sort of build a gaming shed, which that's impressive. I was looking up portable. Oh, really?
Yeah. Sorry.
No, go ahead. No, do tell.
I didn't want to build this thing again, and it took me like the better part of 2 years to put it together, with, you know, siding and roofing and this gigantic heavy as crap beam that's up on top here, because I wanted it to look like a freaking tavern. If I was going to build this thing, I was going to build it right.
Can you give us a tour?
I didn't want to build it.
Huh? Point the camera. Can we get a 30-second tour? The 50-cent tour. Oh, well, yeah.
The back of it.
You can see that. Yeah, it's got the the white wall and the brown, the medieval construction. Yeah. That's good.
It's got hardwood floors and a fireplace.
Ooh. Keep your toes.
I'm proud of it. I am proud.
You should be,
it.
Man. That is really cool.
But I didn't want to build this thing twice. And, you know, if I ever moved, I just wanted to take this thing with me. So this thing can be attached to wheels and I can haul it off with any given truck.
That's awesome.
It used to be a joke.
No, go ahead. That's great. What's the joke?
It used to be a joke that the Pathfinder crew were always joking that I should just drive it up to Gen Con 1 year.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me? That would be something. You really should. I mean, you seriously, like, for, you know, I kind of break rules in the industry where, like, you know, this is what you talk about on camera. And then there's, you know, behind the bush kind of chat that I'm always getting nailed for, like, you shouldn't talk about that on the air. But I'm telling you, like, I would buy a ticket to see the home, you know, to walk around. You can sell tickets to that thing, man. Sit at the table, you know, have cardboard standees of, well, Ryan, and then you're in person. You know, and
but thankfully, Gen Con's the one time we're together. He's in Canada, I'm in Kentucky. We hardly ever actually get to see each other except for these convention appearances.
Sorry, that was a bit of I was telling you off air earlier that I'm also in Canada and it's difficult for me to, you know, to get down, that kind of thing. So you're on your wheels, you're ready to go if you ever need to bolt out of Kentucky, but how long would you think you've been actually creating content since like the big launch?
Oh gosh, we just celebrated our 10th year anniversary.
Oh, congratulations. Mm-hmm. So branching out now, like fast forwarding to now, how many different shows do you have?
Oh gosh, you asked the hard question. let's see, we've got, of course, No Direction. We call it No Direction Prime internally, but the correct name is No Direction. That's the original show. We've got No Direction Beyond, which is our Starfinder show. It's just the same thing, but Starfinder. We've got Geek Together, which is our excuse to talk about anything geeky that we want to. We have Adventurous, our actual play podcast, where we're going through War for the Crown with GM Crystal Fraser. We are not all Caleb Valier, but we do try to have fun.
Thanks for that.
We have Stellar. We have Geek Together Hangout. We have that's six. And we have one more that's about to come out, but I won't talk about that one yet.
Well, let's talk about Stellar.
Mm-hmm.
And you also talked about Beyond, which is also geared towards Starfinder. Is one a talk show and one's the AP. I've just got your actual logo for Stellar. I love the Enlightened Bear. I believe that's what they're called.
Yeah.
We're launching a Starfinder pod of our own very soon. And before I get to play a character, because I've been a GM, our new GM, Rob Hammond, went, I need you to play this bear for a little bit. And then you can play your character. And I saw I saw that it was you that had a bear in your party, Lightened Bear. And it's like, oh, yeah, that's so good.
Oh, yeah. And that was, again, my typecasting coming back to haunt me. I had to play the bear technomancer of the party, Enoch. But I play him up much more bear than technomancer. There's a point early on in the show where we've been cooped up on it's part of the background. We've been cooped up on our starship for like months. And we finally land on a forested planet. And my bear just does zoomies around the spaceship.
I love the webbing. Like, I've got a shot of you, like the bear, like the whole cast there in like your cartoon form right beside you here. And he's got like a baseball cap on and this sort of, I believe it's called webbing. It's like the military jacket that has the big pockets for putting all kinds of stuff in. And he's wearing a t-shirt, but I can't see what's on the t-shirt.
Mitsune Hane. It's a Hatsune Miku parody character that is popular in Starfinder Society.
Oh, cool. That's very cool. So what about the Beyond show, the No Direction Beyond?
Okay, so No Direction Beyond is basically our interview review news podcast for Starfinder. It is once a month. It used to be bi-weekly, but Starfinder kind of dialed back its release schedule up until this month. And then they had like Revenge of the Products and just shoved 1,000 things at us at once. Like get people from the Starfinder team and community to come on an interview. We review all the products. We keep up with the news there. Recently, I've taken a temporary break from hosting that podcast, and we brought in Owen Casey Stevens, the former lead designer of Starfinder, to take my place. Mm-hmm. And he is doing a fantastic job with that. Also, Vanessa Hoskins has come in to handle the techno part of that. She's the new technomancer of the pod. And she, again, is fantastic. She's our GM over at Stellar.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Very cool. So, like, as soon as you talked about what you had to do with Beyond, is like, that's a whole job in itself, like, when you get the time. So, let's... You know, I got to get back to us. I want to talk about Adventurous because earlier you made a little joke about the All Cavalier. Yes, we have our own War for the Crown podcast. And like I said, there's four, actually. Two Perception puts theirs up directly streaming on Official Paizo. There's yours that have Crystal Frazier, which wrote the first book. Fun fact, I've been emailing and bugging the GCP. For some reason, they don't return my calls. I want to know the monster that Troy LaVallee made in the second book. And I've got it down to some undead monstrosity or this fox rooster thing. And I'm putting my money on the fox rooster because it's LaVallee. You know? We haven't got to the second book ourselves. How are you doing with that one? What book are you on? How's it going for you?
We have moved into the second book now. We're having a lot of fun with it because that is a very role-play-centric book. And so we've kind of gone off the rails incredibly because they have tossed us into parties and diplomats and romance plots are going off. And basically, we kind of forgot the main plot and it's just sort of been the zany antics of our little fake nobles. Well, no, the rest of them are fake nobles. My character, Glanville, is a real noble.
The bottle episodes, as they call them, the tangent episodes, can still be some of the best stuff and actually define your pod above and beyond, if I dare say, you know, your competition. This is one of the reasons why we went with All Cavalier and Samurai. It was a bit of a joke, actually pointed at Troy and Joe that mentioned it. But we had our sights on War for the Crown or something else, and we'd heard that Skid Meier was going to do one or the other, and he went with Atlantean, and we're like, oh, thank God. Because just out of respect, I refuse to do the same material as they do. Mm-hmm. But you've got, like, the writer. Now, we recently interviewed a certain gentleman. I don't want to name drop, but he wrote The Swarm for Starfinder. And yes, and Cosmic Crit is now, you know, going to go forward with that and play it. But when I had him on the show, I was asking him, like, is it surreal to like write something and then like to DM it? How do you feel playing under somebody that actually wrote it? I'm kind of surprised, I guess, is my question, that you said you're going off book because she wrote it. You think she'd kind of stick to script. And you guys are saying that, like, you know, so has she led you off the primrose path, or have you guys just kind of gone off on tangents and she's painting the world in front of you desperately to catch up in this?
Crystal is just such an incredible GM that just really encourages her players to just do what they want to do. And she, of course, knows the material because not only did she write the first one, she actually developed the entire line. So she's the one that wrote the outline for all six of them. And whenever we are interacting with anything or throw her a curveball, she is just always ready to handle it, and she seems delighted to. She basically, we can just go crazy, and she will start like GMing four simultaneous NPCs with different voices and keep track of everything perfectly. I am jealous as heck that she's able to pull it off. And so she honestly seems to enjoy how badly we are breaking her content.
No, that's great. You know, just when you're faced with someone like a GM that inspires you, or another player under you or beside you, you know, just absorb and learn, Grasshopper, and it's try to do. That actually kind of funny, because I have a rep for being rather heavy on the mic, story driven, and a little bit railsy, but I do try to learn from those inspire, you know, around me. So let's talk about the convention circuit. You mentioned that you and Ryan, that's the one time you guys can get together. Mm-hmm. Where are these conventions? Where can fans meet you?
Well, the two main conventions that we always hit is PaizoCon over, you know, in Seattle, and Gen Con in Indianapolis. And those are the two most important podcasts for the Starfinder Pathfinder community. Those are the two conventions for the Pathfinder Starfinder community. And one of our staples is why we do those is because we recently we've been partnering with Paizo to do this directly. But ever since we were established, we would make sure we recorded all the seminars that Paizo put on, and then, you know, release them to the public so that more than just the dozen or 100 people in the room would get to actually hear this content. And besides that, I've recently started going to PAX Unplugged. And then, of course, if there's like some local conventions around the Kentucky area or Ohio area, I try to pop in if I can.
I'd like to insert a question here. In my small and humble career and just getting going, I had something happen with a fan that really touched me. And I was curious if there's something that stands out. I mean, you have fanboys come up going, "You're you!" You know, I mean, when I recently got in contact and established a back and forth, you know, I was a little bit gushy, sorry. Now I'm fine. Is there something in recent memory or at a con that you've gone to where you were approached by a fan or an email reached out to you and it really touched you, something about the back and forth where, you know, I mean, a lot of fans go, "I love your stuff." Mm-hmm. Everybody gets that because they are, you know, that person's fan. I'm talking about something where they say it was a defining moment, or, you know, like help me through something, or, you know, how much this means to me. And it's the "and why" part I'm digging for. Is there anything like that?
I really wish there was. My interactions with our fans are usually just geeking out about the game together or talking about something we did on the podcast and laughing about it. I've never actually had that like touching, very personal moments with our fans. I've been really impressed with some of our fans with like some of the links they go. We've had like somebody carve our logo into a block of wood before, and the fan art has always been fun. T.S. Rodriguez did such a good job with the fan art he did of our adventurous characters that we actually hired him to do the official art. But I really, you know, I love our fans. I love meeting with them. I love hearing their stories, and I love how much they love the game too. And I do get a little bit weird because I'm surprised that anybody is impressed to meet me, because I just think that I'm some nerd in Kentucky that kind of snuck his way into this gig and I don't really belong there.
That's great. I'm sorry I set you up for something. You're like, "I have no story, Jeff. What are you doing here?" But no, that's great. Like, after 10 years of doing this, you're not jaded. You're not putting up walls. You're not like, "Nope, sorry, without the VIP badge, you know, you've got some guy blocking you." No, that's great. That's great. So what about social media? You know, for those of us that can't quite cross borders and get to conventions so readily, you know, where can we find you on the regular media outlets?
Okay. You can find me on the Facebooks, of course, Jefferson J. Thacker there. It should be fairly easy to find me. And on Twitter, I'm at J. Thacker over there. And those are the two main places I hang out on the social media. And I guess the other easy way to hit me up is in Discord. I'm Param over on Discord. We have our own Discord server, but you can just find me on Discord in general as well. And honestly, I'm always happy to talk with any fan that wants to talk about anything. I just really love hearing their like geek out moments about the game.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned someone carved a logo on a block of wood. Is there any chance that this logo has made its way to merchandise for fans? Do you have logo on a mug, logo on a t-shirt?
People have been asking us to do merchandise since basically we started, and we have not done it. We keep looking into it, but no, we've never done merchandise at all. The only thing we've got is after Eric Mona got onto us, we started a Patreon because we finally was like, okay, we'll start a Patreon. And we really appreciate our patrons. But up until then, which was really just a couple of years ago, we were not monetizing the show at all.
Oh, but you're doing this for love, not money. Like I said, I got a reputation for being a little spammy, and you know, we are pushing our Patreon and stuff, but it's like most fans have no idea that like the money is spent. A lot of us are in debt just to keep our passion to do this going. And yes, the Patreon is so accepted and so nice, but it's not a paycheck. You just throw it at the debt. it's just that very few content creators out there like Mercer and LaValley and stuff that have actually gone, guess what, I quit my job and I do this now and thank you so much. I mean, you know, that is our dream. But if we don't attain that dream, it doesn't mean we're going to stop creating content. You know, we do this because we love it. But just having something you own on a t-shirt, like for us, is cool. We use Teespring, and again, talking behind the bush, maybe I shouldn't, but these companies are like, we want $12 for making your shirt. Then your customer is going to be charged like another $12 for shipping it out. Then they're like, and how much do you want? We recommend like $12. Well, taxes, and this is like $40-$50 t-shirts. No one's going to buy this stuff, especially for someone like us. We're like, you know, we're no one. But you can control the profit margin. So something we did is we dropped our profit margin to like that type of thing, just to make our nobody logos more affordable. And there's also charities. If you have a charity, I'm always telling content creators, you know, like if you don't want to make the money for you, your work can make a big difference to, you know, some of these companies like Teespring or whatever offer you donations to a charity and they hook you up and, you know, the money goes there, which I thought very impressive, you know, from the business aspect. I thought that was very cool. So a couple personal questions. I always like to ask, because like I said, I've met doctors, lawyers, ditch diggers, you know, those that play this game. What do you do for a living when you're not building taverns?
Oh, okay. So, complicated question. I develop websites and do video production. I guess the easiest way to solve it is people pay me to do cool things with computers and to solve computer problems they didn't think they had.
Cool. Yeah, no, I feel that. Got three tech guys. We're always going, how did this happen? How do we fix this? You know, talked about your latest project. Is there something that you're like, you're just sinking your teeth into, or is the, like the last thing you started, if you calendar back, and you're really into right now?
We are basically reinvigorating the network right now and getting our stuff reorganized. And that has been a lot of fun. We're about to launch a new website, and I'm working on another podcast. I guess we've announced it, so I might as well talk about it. The one that I'm really into is this RPG Design Club podcast we're putting together, where we're getting a bunch of industry insiders, Owen Casey Stevens, BJ Hensley, Alexander Agunis, to come on and actually show what it takes to make a game professionally from idea to bookshelf.
Oh yeah, like getting you right through the, making even the Kickstarter process and that kind of thing.
Oh yeah, we're talking about everything from like outlining to how do you hire an artist, to why you should go to conventions, where should you distribute it, should you do print, should you do Kickstarter, like all that business. This is going to be like a really good resource for anybody that wants to do any sort of publishing.
And what's this called?
It's going to be called RPG Design Club.
RPG Design Club. And this is strictly podcast, or is it like your usual vodcast, as it were?
We're going to start with just podcasts, but we're probably going to do YouTube videos as well. Cool. But it won't be a live show. This is an edited show.
So this brings me into one of my last questions. Obviously, this is, you said you, oh, I can't announce it, so obviously it's not up and running yet. What have you got in the work for the future beyond that, and when can we expect to see the RPG Club popping up?
Oh gosh, we've got the first two episodes recorded. We're going to put another couple in the hopper and launch it imminently.
Okay. And anything else on the horizon that you're allowed, you know, by contract to leak? To talk about, or is everything
too many secrets? We've got more shows in development, but those are under wraps right now.
Okay. Just in case there was something you're allowed to rip the band-aid off, I just, you know, wanted to hear it here first. We've been talking to Parham, as he is known, Jefferson J. Thacker from the No Direction Network. He's playing Starfinder. He's playing War for the Crown, which I gotta say is original to spend one third of a module schmoozing for XP before you actually get to fight everything. My players found it bulky. I enjoyed it immensely. Definitely, like you said, hard on the RP aspect and hard on your DM. But if you can find a DM that loves doing voices, War for the Crown is definitely the adventure for you folks. Jefferson, thank you so much for being on the show today. And we will see you next time on Attack of Opportunity. Say goodbye, Param.
Goodbye.